Hey everyone, welcome to the Contextual Insurgent Project. I am your host, Aaron Smith. Today is Sunday, March 13th. I am in downtown Lviv, Ukraine. If you've been following my Substack or my earlier podcasts, you're probably familiar with what's going on and why. Just to touch back on everything, I brought some medical gear into the country. I passed some of it off to an expat friend of mine who's trained in, trained to be an RN, and he's been doing what he can in his village. He actually lives in Yavoriv, which, in case if you're up on what's been happening today, there was an airstrike in Yavoriv. He's actually okay, but hopefully some of the stuff I sent over there with him is being put to good use today. The other stuff I passed off to a Greek Catholic priest, Father Roman. I did an interview with him yesterday. I have a, my interview with him should be going out in a little bit in my Substack. I've got some photos and some written explanations of what he's doing and the church that he's in, which is truly amazing. That should be going out in about 2 or 3 hours. I'll also publish in my Anchor, app, some of the audio from that interview, but you know, the Substack is great too, because you have photos. Anyway, it's pretty cool. Father Roman is a pretty interesting guy. He's a military chaplain. Unlike Western armies here, it seems that they don't actually commission into the military as commissioned officers. They're actually still civilian priests, but they work very closely with the military. He actually holds services on local military bases, and also has a church that they work out of here called the Garrison Church of the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul. They started building this church in 1610. It's truly stunning. If you follow my Twitter or any of my other social media, you've seen photos of this place. It's absolutely amazing. It's got frescoes in there from apparently some famous brothers in the 1700s, the Eckstein brothers. It's still undergoing restoration. It was not a church during the Soviet Union. This building was used for storing books. So now they're still restoring it. A lot of the frescoes that they restored it's just totally mind blowing. There's still some spots in there that where the plaster's messed up, but you know, it gives it a certain character to it. And they're gonna finish fixing it all up. It may take another decade or two, depending on how this war goes. But it's truly an amazing church. Go check out my Substack in about 3 hours when it drops. Photos of the church and photos of Father Roman and a little bit of discussion of the church in the Substack as well. In the podcast part of the Substack. Anyway, yeah, so we've had an air raid the last couple of days. Most of the buildings here in Lviv have basements. So it's very... they're coming into a lot of use. A lot of these basements have actually been converted to be cafes and stuff like that. So, you know, people, you're sitting eating, you pick up your food and you go carry it down to the basement and just kind of chill out till the air raid's over with. There haven't been any actual strikes in Lviv. I think there were some on the outskirts right in the first few days of the war. They were hitting some of the air bases around here, but they haven't actually hit Lviv. And now that we're, you know, 2 weeks into the war, they're starting to do some more strikes on the outskirts. Again, I don't know what they're going to do. Obviously, I don't know what the Russians are going to do. There's not a whole lot of military targets here. There's some government buildings downtown, and maybe that's really about it. There's no real, like, serious military installations in the city. I'm right in downtown Lviv. I'm right in, like, the old part of the city. I can't really see anything off the top of my head that strikes me as a really, you know, compelling military target. So, but I don't know. That doesn't stop the Russians. It doesn't seem like that's something they really care about all that much at this part of the stage of the war. It's overall spirits here are still pretty positive. Last night, you know, yesterday was Saturday, and the streets were packed with a lot of people. It looked like a Saturday crowd in the city. People were very, very upbeat overall. The restaurants were packed. It reminds me a lot of, you know, what people were saying in Kyiv before the war started. People were just kind of trying to ignore what was going on. And I guess there's some of that. The reality is, you know, I don't know what people think when you're in an actual war zone, but you just can't sit around obsessing about it all the time. You have to live your life. There's like 200,000 refugees here. People are helping them. There are lots of people here. Everyone's working together, trying to help each other and do a lot of good things. But yeah, I don't see people really freaking out. I was some of the refugees, some of the people from back east, I would talk to them and interview them. And they would get a little emotional because, I mean, they've been through some stuff. So, they have the right to be, but they're still trying to keep, it's very much a stiff upper lip, so to speak, to use the English term. I posted some videos on Twitter of everything, and I've got people reaching out to license it. Of course, the media is like, "Hey, can we have your stuff for free?" I'm like, "No, thank you. I appreciate your interest, but you're welcome to license my stuff from NewsFlare, which is, the company I'm using to license my video and stuff that I shoot here." So yeah, that's going on. Everything here is pretty good. I'm gonna go get a little bite to eat in a bit. I had yesterday I was filming on the main square. It's kind of interesting. People still are, especially there's lots of military out and about. There's also lots of plainclothes police and uniform police. I was out filming yesterday, and if you walk around and look, and if you know what you're looking for, you can usually spot them. There's like two or three kind of young to middle-aged men standing around, circle smoking, kind of all paying attention very closely to what's going on. Sometimes there'll be a little stack of cigarettes at their feet, and they'll usually be standing at intersections and places where they have really good sight lines. So it's kind of a little game of like spot the plainclothes police. Yesterday I was filming a little bit, in the main square, and I like stood up on one of the steps so I could get a great view of everything. And I was filming some kids playing. There were some kids with skateboards, and doing the bicycle tricks and just getting some good panning shots of the crowd because it was really full and people were kind of having a pretty fun Saturday. And I hopped down and started walking around. Like, these three dudes kind of came over and intercepted me, and they were very, very polite. And they're like, "Excuse me, just curious, what you're doing." And I'm like, "Hey, I kind of figured out what was going on immediately. I was like, "Hey, I'm an American. I'm here just filming, doing some independent journalism. Just kind of wanted to get a mood of the city." And they're like, "So you don't speak Russian or Ukrainian?" I'm like, "No, sorry, I only speak American. I only speak, bad English and American." And they were like, "Hey, do you have any ID?" And I was like, "Sure, here's my passport." And like, "Oh, okay, thank you, American ski." And he turned to the other guy. I was like, "American ski," or whatever the Ukrainian word for that. And they kind of smiled. And I mean, they were like, I mean, they did say that. I'm like, "Are y'all with?" I was like, "Y'all with someone in here?" And they're like, "Yeah, we're with city council." And somebody pulled out some identification, and like, I can't read it, but it was. I know what identification looks like. And I was like, "Sure, here." And they didn't actually like physically take my passport. I just like held it up. And they looked at him, "Okay, cool, thank you, American ski." And they were like, have a good day." And I was like, "Appreciate it." And then I just walked off. It was not a tense moment. They weren't like aggressive or anything. They were polite. But that's the sort of thing that's going on here right now. It's just, lots of plainclothes cops, and you can walk around, you can see them. And if you're kind of standing out, they may come say something. And again, I was like standing up, filming the entire square. So, I mean, I can't blame them. If I was in their position, I would walk over and say, "Hey, what are you up to too, by the way?" Like, they do have, like, there have been issues with Russian spies and stuff sneaking in, people doing spy stuff and, strike reconnaissance and shit like that. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. Folks are, it just, it's kind of weird. It just looks like a normal day in a normal city, except there's lots of cops and lots of military, and occasionally a siren goes off. People run to or stroll to the basement. They don't run. I haven't really seen anyone panic. I did have, it was interesting when I was coming in. I didn't really talk too much about this. I chatted with some Polish people on the way in when I was taking the train to Ukraine, and it's kind of interesting because everyone is kind. I mean, the Ukrainian people are very, very, their morale is very high. They're very positive. there's not really any defeatism I'm sensing from anyone. I mean, everyone is like, you know, we got this, we got this, we're going to win, which is great. It's understandable. You know, it's the sort of mentality that you want your people to have on the street. You know, you want to have positive people. Some of the Polish people that I talked to on the way here, they were a little bit more mixed. I mean, their analysis of what was happening was like, you know, yeah, everyone is fighting. They're fighting an incredible battle. They think Russia still has the advantage because they're just so big and they have so much mass. At least that was the thought for the Polish citizens on the ground when I talked to them, was that, you know, yeah, Russia has an advantage. They're so big. You know, the Ukrainians are fighting so hard, but in time, that was the sense that they still think that Russia will have the advantage, and they're also a little worried about Russia. Like, what's Russia going to do to them? Like, they want to help, and they want to do stuff, but they are, it did strike me that they're a little worried about skylining themselves. At least the citizens on the street, that was what my feeling was. Today I'm going to do some more interviews here. There's some people coming into town. It's really, really interesting because so many people are coming in to help. There's several people who are coming in. They're doctors and RNs. Some of them already have connections that they're linking up with. Others are still looking for them. I'm getting lots of messages from people that want to, you know, they're trying to find rides here and other people that have rides, and I'm trying to put both of them in touch with each other, and or all of them, there's several of them, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to all these independent links that I'm trying to connect. But yeah, everything is it's been, you know, this has been a worthwhile trip. Stuff that I'm seeing and the experience I'm getting, you know, I've been walking around everywhere I can and talking to as many people as I can and getting a sense for the city. And you know, it's one thing to maintain kind of a distance when you're in a situation like this, or even when it's happening overseas and you're not there. Then you go there, you know, and you see the place and you meet the people and you start to care a little about them, and you become kind of a little emotionally connected, and you want what's best for them. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and this is one thing I want to kind of talk about here. There's a lot of projection going on from, like, and this is something, I'm not the first person to bring this up, but it's really kind of become a little annoying. I mean, I think there is serious debates about, you know, what are the role that Western elites have had in Ukraine, same thing like Afghanistan. There's lots of questions about that, and there's things we can talk about, but I think it's important not to get stuck in this Manichean type of black and white situation where you just want to, okay, well, you have to find the good guy and you have to find the bad guy, and good or bad really depends on your perspective of what you want to accomplish. I don't think Putin's the good guy. I don't think anything they're doing here is right or just. Yeah, there's lots of issues with Western and American elites and their crooked bullshit they were doing in Ukraine, but I can't stand here. I can't sit here and or stand here after some of the heartbreak that I've personally witnessed and try to pass anything that's being done off, you know, with the Russian objectives here as being good. I just think that is a little bit too much solipsism from an American perspective. See, the whole thing is like America. And the West, in particular, the West in general, and America in particular, have been so dominant for so long. The American hegemony is so total that it's very difficult to look at things as they are in foreign countries, even things that our elites are connected with, and understand that even if they're involved with some of that tangentially, that doesn't make it the whole story. There's things here that go back a long way. There's all kinds of, you know, interesting dynamics that are going on here in this country, and that is part of the story, but it's incredibly arrogant to think that everything that's happening here in Ukraine, you know, can only be reflected through, you know, and as a proxy for American domestic conflict. There are elements of that. I mean, I'm not going to say there aren't, but it's so much bigger than that. And, you know, to determine what's happening here and your position and your stance on it purely by how it affects you domestically, you end up missing a lot of the picture. And that's really one thing I want to say is, you know, yeah, it's like this is a truly multifaceted story. And it's very complex, and there are things that are being done by American wealthy elites and politicians that are probably stupid and corrupt, but you know, this is not just a story of American corruption that's going on here. I mean, there's tons of contributing factors to everything that's going on. And it's important to remember the nuance that's happening here. All right, well, I think that's about it for now. I've got some people coming in. It's interesting. I'm meeting some people later. Lots of good contacts from people. Going to meet some more folks. More interviews coming out. I hope I have some more good content for you here soon. I'm going to write and note some more stuff here and put it out. Thanks so much for everyone that supported me. I hope you're getting a little bit of insight into what's going on. And take care. I'll talk to you later.